This is Jim Eakster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And a special treat, Sean Riley, the Chief Executive Officer of the Lamar Corporation, the largest business in Baton Rouge, largest outdoor advertising company in our country, and he is here to talk about this and more. And we could go on for hours with Sean Riley, who also served in the Louisiana House of Representatives for two terms, succeeding his father, and he has some thoughts about politics. And the Riley family, of course, is active in philanthropic and political endeavors, and that's why LSU has the Riley Center. We do want to note that it was a good day for LSU Saturday. The Tigers won 66-38 over Vanderbilt. They're now 4-0 and ranked fourth nationally. And the Saints upset the Seahawks. First win without Drew Brees in 14 years as the Saints won in Seattle yesterday, 33-27. And this is Fall Member Fest time. And if you'd like to join that number, we'd love to hear from you. 855-893-9753. Good morning, Sean Riley.
Hey, Jim, and thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Pleasure to see you and hear you. And as mentioned, the Riley family has a remarkable presence in Baton Rouge, and this company is something that is a nationwide entity with 200 offices across the United States. And a lot of people are employed right here in Baton Rouge, and we talked a bit before we went on the air. You've never really considered moving.
No, Jim. Our roots are here, and we love it here, and our folks love it here. You know, we probably have something in the neighborhood of 240 employees over on Corporate Boulevard, and this is home. You know, they come to work in purple and gold. And then we have another 20 or so employees out at the plant that you drive by on the interstate. And then we have another about 120 employees out on Beaumont Drive. They do a lot of digital tech work and a lot of digital art. And they're happy here. So, no, we're homegrown and here to stay.
877-217-5757 is your number. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email, too, to talk@talklouisiana.org. For Sean Riley, who is a man of many interests, certainly a Renaissance man, went off to Harvard, I think, 1979? You left Baton Rouge and went to Harvard University, got a great education there. Those who go there say it's the greatest university in the world, and I'm not arguing with that, but certainly the largest endowment. And you came back. Was there any thought along the way that you might go off and work somewhere else, but you came back home?
Well, yeah, and as I like to say, my degree may be crimson, but my blood runs purple and gold. So I was coming home from the get-go, and actually I went back to Harvard to go to law school, and not a lot of people know this, but I dropped out of Harvard Law School after 2 years.
Really?
And came home and ran for the legislature and got elected, right? Now, Harvard was kind enough to allow me to go back and finish my degree. I don't know how they would have treated me had I lost, but since I was an elected official, they gave me a little accommodation and let me finish the degree over the next year.
Did you ever take the bar?
I never took the whole bar. I took a piece, and I was thinking about going into law while I was in the legislature, mm-hmm. but I took another path. I decided to go to work for Lamar in real estate, and so I cut my teeth learning that part of our operation. And then I moved into the role of mergers and acquisitions, when my brother and I took the company public in 96. The outdoor industry was going through a great wave of consolidation, and you were either going to be a gobblee or a gobblor. And we decided we were going to be a gobblor. So I got very active in mergers and acquisitions, and we kind of acquired companies after we went public very aggressively. And so what started out as a sort of Louisiana homegrown billboard company is now the largest billboard company in the country and the most valuable out-of-home country in the world. Our market cap today is $10 billion, which is kind of astounding. How did we get here? And we have 3,800 employees and over 200 offices around the country. So it's been quite a journey, and we've been blessed.
And your sales this year will approach $2 billion.
We're closing in on it. We'll be $1.75 billion in sales this year.
$1 billion.
That's with a B.
$750 million. Yeah. And that's for a little company from Baton Rouge that started in 1902.
Correct. Yeah. The company has an interesting founding story. It was my mother's grandfather. My mother's grandfather was actually a banker in Pensacola, Florida. And he and his partner owned the Opera House in Pensacola. Now, back in 1902, you didn't have TV, movies, radio, all that stuff, right?
That was it.
The center of town was the Opera House. And one day in 1902, a gentleman from Atlanta with the Coca-Cola Bottling Company came down to Pensacola and said to my mother's grandfather, Charlie Lamar, when you put up the coming attractions on the side of the building, whatever vaudeville act or diva was coming, would you put up Drink Coca-Cola? And, of course, a little light bulb goes off over Charlie Lamar's head. And he goes, yeah, we'll put it up on the side of the building, and we'll put it up all over town. And that was the birth of billboards in Pensacola, Florida. And, of course, Coca-Cola was doing this all over the country, as was Pepsi, as was some of the cigarette companies back in the early 1900s. So to finish the story, my Charlie Lamar had a falling out with his partner in the poster business and the Opera House business. So they flipped a coin. The winner got the Opera House. The loser got the Pensacola Posting Company. So as you can imagine, that was a fortuitous loss of a coin flip for yours truly.
Wow.
That's a true story. Yeah. That's how we started.
You got it on a coin flip.
Got it on a
that
coin
you
flip.
Lost.
Yes,
that
we
lost.
Lost. That we lost.
Yeah, well, it's been quite a ride. Yeah. And your dad was, of course, he was a giant in the state legislature. I remember him as the legendary chair of the Appropriations Committee in the House. But while he was doing that, he was out acquiring companies. He was a guy who looked the part.
He did.
Handsome guy, wore a suit. You know, he was a fabulously impressive individual. Always tanned.
Always coiffed.
And he got the job done, didn't he?
He sure did. And, of course, he had a wonderful public service career, both in the legislature and as Secretary of Economic Development. But a lot of people don't know how he built what was a really small company into a nice regional billboard company and really created a tremendous platform that my brother and I could then grow as we were a public company and through the years. I was very fortunate to have an incredible mentor as a father, and that has been the beacon through my life.
And Sean was born in 1961. As mentioned, he went off to Harvard, and he's remained a Democrat. But one of your classmates, I think, at Harvard, he born in the same year and went to Harvard at the same time, was David Bruce Vitter. Did you ever run into him?
You know, we didn't have quite the same path or group that would cause us to run into each other. But then again, when I was in law school with Barack Obama, and I never saw him either. So
really? Yeah,
Barack was a year ahead of me at law school. I think I played basketball against him in when I'd go. I was a little bit of a gym rat when I was in law school because I wasn't the best law student in the world.
But Vitter, he went to Harvard and then was elected to the state legislature.
I served in the legislature with him, for sure.
For one term, right?
Yeah. We crossed over there and we enjoyed each other's company. Mm-hmm. David was, more steeped in the GOP and I was a D. So, we didn't always agree on things. But, he was a very skilled legislator.
Well, you were elected at 26, I believe, and I remember you as the first candidate to be out on the side of the road there at Perkins and Acadian. I go all day long.
Right,
waving at passerby. And
you know how that happened.
How?
They were so sick of me at campaign headquarters, they just wanted to get me out of there. So they gave me a yard sign and told me to go stand on a corner.
But you're elected at 26, and then you essentially give up politics as an elective official at 34. So, yeah. Some believe you could have been governor. You could have run for anything you wanted to and been a formidable candidate. Why did you give it up?
In 1996 was that year, and that was the same year we took Lamar public. So something, you know, just had to give. It's hard to do both. Of course, I was also trying to start a young family as well. So there was just a lot of things going on. And what I've learned is that you can have a foot in both camps. You can do well in the private sector and still have an influence on public policy.
We'll talk about that and more with Sean Riley. The number for Talk Louisiana is 877-217-5757. And the number to show your support for WRKF in the Fall Member Fest is 855-893-9753. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Sean Riley is in the house. He is the chief executive officer of the... Would I be wrong if I said the world's largest outdoor advertising firm?
Well, it depends on how you're describing it, but certainly the country's largest.
The nation's largest.
Nation's largest, and as I said, the world's most valuable in terms of our enterprise value.
$10 billion, and this year's sales for Lamar will reach close to $2 billion. And it's a company that started here in Baton Rouge in 1902. It's been through several generations of the family, and Sean is the CEO. His brother Kevin is...
Chairman of the board,
and his father Kevin was the guy who ran the show for many, many years.
He
also was a force in the state legislature, and he was commissioner of administration under Mike Foster, if I remember correctly.
He was secretary of economic development.
Okay,
yeah,
got there
close.
Thanks. Well, but he also
wanted that commissioner job. I can tell you that.
Okay, I just promoted him. But he also ran for treasurer in the year of 1987, and he lost to Mary Landrieu.
That was kind of a funny story, so I'll digress a little bit. So while my father was in the process of losing to Mary Landrieu, I was in the process of getting elected to the legislature at the age of 26, and in New Orleans, running for his sister's seat was Mitch Landrieu.
Right.
Guess who become seatmates in the Louisiana legislature? Sean Riley and Mitch Landrieu, and we became and still remain fast friends. Such a great guy.
Yeah, and he's a guy who many thought would run for president this go around.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point he may. He's same age as you, and I think a year older. But he, by today's standards, he's a baby.
He's young.
Biden Trump and Sanders and Warren. But he is... a moderate Democrat. Now, in Louisiana, he's a liberal Democrat, but nationally, he would be viewed as a moderate.
And more importantly, he's just a class act.
He's
public
speaker.
He's had my support for whatever he takes on.
What would happen, though, if he were to run? How would he be viewed?
I think he would be viewed as running in the same lane as Joe Biden, sort of that moderate lane of the Democratic Party. Mitch and Uncle Joe are very close, as a matter of fact, and it wouldn't surprise me, I shouldn't get out over my skis here, but it wouldn't surprise me if in a Biden administration, Mitch Landrieu played a prominent role.
He might very well be a cabinet secretary, as was his father, Moon Landrieu, who was HUD secretary under Jimmy Carter. Ray in Prairieville. Good morning, Ray. You're on Talk Louisiana with Sean Riley. Hi, Ray.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. And I just got a question for Mr. Riley. He's got a good expertise in advertisement, politics, and the Lamar billboards. How do we get the word out to the people of Louisiana that the only way to improve from 46th to 50th worst in the United States, of any of the states, on anything from schools to... highways, that we have to do something that will probably cost us extra money, how do we tell the people that we want to be above the 50th worst in the United States?
That is a great question, and it's certainly been on my mind. Let me tell you what I'm thinking about and an effort I'm going to join. There is a group coming together. It's a collaboration between Council for a Better Louisiana, PAR, and the Committee for 100. And it's branded Reset Louisiana's Future, and its goal is, as just as you described, to bring to the fore ways in which we can generate some momentum around some key issues. So now, some of these issues we've had some progress made, like, for example, early childhood education. Great law was passed back in the mid-2010s, but it hasn't been funded. So it's not touching the number of children it could touch. And we know that that's one of the best dollars we can spend to lift our state out of poverty. And on the transportation and infrastructure front, we've made some progress shoring up the Transportation Trust Fund. We've embarked under the John Bell administration on some transportation infrastructure projects. But at the end of the day, so much more has to be done, and we need to figure out a dedicated revenue source to get more done in the area of shoring up our bridges and roads. And again, this is Reset Louisiana's Future. It's a consortium of the Committee for 100, PAR, and CABLE. And yours truly is getting involved to get that message out. You know, we have a unique opportunity in this election cycle. There's going to be a lot of turnover in the legislature. Term limits is doing what it does. And with a lot of new faces, we have the opportunity to have some influence, advocate for some policies that can move Louisiana forward across a broad range of issues. I mean, I didn't even bring up tax reform. We've done the job under the John Bell administration of stabilizing our state's finances. But at the end of the day, we still have a tax structure that's littered with exemptions and deductions. And when you look across our, be it sales taxes, income taxes, or property taxes, we need to broaden the base and lower the rates. And if we can get rid of all the special interest loopholes and deductions and exemptions, everybody can enjoy a lower rate, and everybody can, you know, at the end of the day, feel like they're a part of moving Louisiana forward. So across a broad range of issues, we're gonna try to make a difference and sit down with a new class of legislators, and hopefully they'll listen.
What about this aversion to any kind of taxes? We saw that with the Jindal administration, and at times revenue is essential. People like to talk about cutting, but when it comes down to it, when they're asked to name specific programs, they generally don't want to do that
right.
Either. But the government has to have something to get the roads better and things like that, that they're essential, vital to our lives. How do we get beyond this aversion to any kind of any revenue source that is not in place already?
Sure. Well, let me talk about general tax reform first. Again, the notion being broaden the base and lower the rates. Now, you can do that in a revenue-neutral fashion. And so when I was appointed by the Edwards administration, John Bell, to serve on the commission that looked into tax reform, we were always talking revenue-neutral. But it was really an effort to lower the rates, broaden the base, make Louisiana's tax base more consumer-friendly, business-friendly, make it look like every other state in the country so that we could adopt best practices and not be an outlier. And then, you know, when it comes to roads and bridges, you know, we're one of the only states in the country that hasn't touched our gas tax in 40 years. And most other states either index it to inflation or have special dedicated funds to help them keep up with road work. And we just haven't gone down that road.
Randy and Zachary. Hello, Randy. You're on the air with Sean Rowe.
Yes. I just want to make a comment. Did your father ever regret making a statement about people in the state with a shotgun and a pickup truck?
Well, you know, that was a long diatribe that had a lot of quotes in it that quite possibly weren't politically correct. As I like to tease him, it endeared himself to 30% of the electorate. I don't think it helped him too much when it came to getting elected. But you know, it's interesting. It woke some people up, and it wasn't really just about a pickup truck and two shotguns. It was also about trying to do some things differently in Louisiana to lift us out of those last place rankings that we so unfortunately find ourselves in. But no, point well taken, and it's hard to get elected to anything with 30% of the votes.
Well, WRKF is your trusted source for independent and factual journalism. As membership grows, our ability to bring you more local and regional journalism grows as well. And we're looking for growth in membership. And later this year, WRKF will install a new transmitter, which will expand the station's ability to offer HD program and a plan to dedicate an HD program streamed exclusively to classical music. Your contribution can make all this happen. 855-893-9753. Back with more from Sean Riley.
The Saints without Drew Brees defeated Seattle 33-27 yesterday. You knew it would be a good day for the black and gold when rookie Deontay Harris returned a punt 53 yards for a touchdown in the first quarter. Filling in for Brees, Teddy Bridgewater threw two touchdown passes. Coach Sean Payton.
In our league, sometimes the desperate team wins. But, you know, when you're playing Seattle, you know, on the road, they're a real good football team. And so I thought the punt return early was a big play.
The Saints are 2-1 and will host 3-0 Dallas Sunday night. A candidate for a state house seat has been arrested on drug and child endangerment charges. 26-year-old Mary Lee Bellow signed up as an independent in a race against Democratic incumbent Robbie Carter, who represents the Ameet area. Hammond Daily Star reporter Jesse Brooks says they questioned Bellow after she qualified.
She seemed not knowledgeable on general political subjects that are happening in the state. Just someone who didn't seem to really have much interest in running a race at all.
LRN.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries are producing, and Sean Riley is with us for a little while longer. He is the chairman, or the CEO, of the Lamar Corporation. His brother's the chair. Sean is head of the largest outdoor advertising company in the United States, and Lamar will do close to $2 billion in revenue. He's involved in politics, and we're getting his take on the world at large, but there also was another acquisition of Etel, and you now have, I think, more than 400 employees on that front here in this community.
Really excited about that company, Jim. It's a company not a lot of people know about, and it is a world-class, highly sophisticated telecommunications company with, you know, almost 450 employees, $170 million in sales. We have broadband telecommunications offerings in Lafourche, all the way down to Grand Isle, running through Terrebonne, running up through St. John, St. James, Ascension, Livingston, East and West Baton Rouge Parish. We sell sophisticated services to businesses and residential, all the broadband suite of services, high-speed internet, cable TV, telephone, security services. We run an incredibly sophisticated data center that offers businesses all this, again, full suite of cloud services and cybersecurity. You can tell I'm really excited about this. My brother Kevin and I owned a smaller company in St. John and St. James. And when the Scanlon family, great family that's, you know, has deep roots in the Ascension community in Gonzales. When they decided to sell, we were just a natural fit. And I'm really excited about it, again, because we were able to keep this great company local, local ownership, and keep that local community engagement flavor that they built, that culture that they built. We're going to continue it.
877-217-5757 for Sean Riley on Talk Louisiana. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Sean Riley.
Yeah, Mr. Riley, I'm wondering, is your confidence in the Chamber of Commerce shaken by its support of Cleo Fields, despite his shoving that $20,000 in his pocket in Edwin's office?
So I believe I overlapped with Cleo.
I think
when he
you
was
elected
in the Senate.
The same year.
Yeah.
87.
That was
he
back,
was 26, or you were 26, and Cleo would have been. He's born in 62, I believe. So he would have been 25. So yeah.
So he was younger.
He
okay.
was a little bit younger. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a horse in that race. If I'm correct, Patricia Smith is also running, and she has a long and distinguished career. And Cleo's running, and I think I have elected to stay out of that one.
But you were involved in other races. I think it's fair to say, based on your previous remarks, you like Governor John Bel Edwards.
I do. I think he deserves to be reelected. I think he's, you know, solid record of accomplishment, and just I find him to be authentic, and that is a rare quality in politics these days. Someone who you're gonna get exactly what you think you're gonna get, and what you're getting is strong leadership. I love that ad with his West Point fellow graduates that are just so strong, talking about the kind of leadership you can expect, leading from the front, as it were. Mm-hmm. When you get somebody with the kind of depth of experience that Governor Edwards has had, and you know, I think the record of accomplishment is there as well, whether it be criminal justice reform, whether it be stabilizing the state fisc, whether it be expanding Medicaid. I think all those moves were things that needed to happen.
877-217-5757. Andy in Goodwood. Andy, you're on the air with Sean Riley. Hi, Andy.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Sean. Y'all may have already touched on this, but what are we going to do about gerrymandering?
Hey, Andy. That's my good friend, Andy. And that's actually not a softball for everybody, but it's a softball for me. I think a lot about gerrymandering. I think it's one of the structural malfunctions in American democracy today. I think it contributes to polarization. I think it contributes to the echo chamber. I think it results in some of the stalemate that happens, be it at the state level or the congressional level. I actually wrote my undergraduate thesis on legislative reapportionment and gerrymandering, and then I wrote my law school thesis on judicial gerrymandering, and then, when I got elected to the legislature, I was gerrymandered out of my district. So
there you go.
Well, I think the solution is multifaceted. I think we should challenge bad maps in court. So part of the solution is a judicial solution, and that's going on all across the country. By the way, there are gerrymandered maps that come out of Democrats, and there's gerrymandered maps that come out of Republicans. So this, to me, is not a partisan issue. It's a democracy issue. And so we need to fight it on that front. I personally am in favor of redistricting commissions to draw maps. I would rather have the people choose their politicians than the politicians choose the people that vote for them. And that is happening around the country. Just recently in Wisconsin, recently in Arizona, and of course the California. So we can do it with nonpartisan redistricting commissions, and you know, we can also do it by electing fair-minded people that are in charge of drawing maps. And in some states, that's not necessarily the legislature. In some states, the key person could be the Secretary of State. And so, you know, as I look at this issue and I think about it broadly around the country, it's something that I think is critical. Because as I said, I think it's one of those places where the plumbing of democracy is jammed up, it's clogged up, and it's resulting in, and I think, polarization that sort of hardening of the arteries that prevents us from getting good legislation done. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. That was a big support of WRKF, as are Mary Brown, Rashad Jackson, Eric Marshall from the Baton Rouge Symphony, contributing this morning. And again, we'd like for you to contribute this hour. If you enjoy this hour of programming, your support is vital to WRKF all year long. 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. Sean Riley is with us, the CEO of the Lamar Corporation, based here in Baton Rouge. And, of course, as you can hear, extremely passionate about politics. You were talking about gerrymandering, and it's more evident in congressional races because the districts are bigger than they are, but we see it at the state level as well, in neighborhoods that are splintered. That brings us to a question about St. George. What's your thought regarding that prospect?
So, you know, I believe that the history of great cities, if you look at the broad arc of history, great cities don't balkanize themselves. Rather, they annex and become a larger, more unified territory. Now, you know, again, I'm going back through history, right? So what does that have to do with Baton Rouge? I think we're better together. I really do. I don't think we need another jurisdiction to feed taxes to.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be in the camp that thinks that the budget that St. George is promoting is quite frankly undershooting the mark. I think it's going to cost more than they think. You know, I will end up living in the core of Baton Rouge, not the new St. George, but I will have interests in there that I'm going to, you know, be paying property taxes on and various and sundry other taxes. It started out as something that was all about schools, and I got that. I understood where they were coming from with wanting a little more local control over their school system. But then, that started begging the question of legacy costs, what mm-hmm. revenues are available for the rest of the school system. Great article in the Advocate this morning about that and what that would mean. Now, of course, it's not about schools now. You know, it's about controlling mostly police. I think we're better together.
James on Highland Road. James, good morning. You're on with Sean Riley.
Good morning. We have adopted all of the Uniform Commercial Code except for a few pieces. And I wanted to know, and I thought it was a worthy endeavor, to complete the task of adopting completely UCC sales, simply because, and I teach that, if you will, it creates the impression Louisiana's a foreign jurisdiction.
Wow, you're taking me way back.
It was Fox McKisson, remember?
Yeah.
He was big on getting us under the UCC.
And it was partially my legislation that did it. Back, I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking.
That was early.
It was 90, 89 or 90, something mm-hmm. like that. It was my first big bill. And this is kind of funny. So I went to law school outside the state, so I was steeped in the UCC, and they couldn't find a domestic Louisiana trained lawyer in the legislature to handle it, right? Because you know it was highly controversial. But I agree, we should look more like the rest of the country and make commerce in Louisiana friendly and easier to do, like it is elsewhere.
Your number for Sean Riley will be with us a little longer, 877-217-5757. And the number to show your support for WRKF, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're going to go the distance with Sean Riley, the CEO of the Lamar Corporation, largest outdoor advertising company in the United States, if not the world, and the largest company based in Baton Rouge, 877-217-5757. And to show support for WRKF, which is vital, 855-893-9753. The Riley family, as mentioned, has been involved in many philanthropic endeavors in this community. And before we move on to some people who want to talk with you telephonically, why do you do it? You're a nationwide company. You're based here, but you're more active than the average Joe. Why?
Well, it's home, number one. Number two, we've been blessed, and this community's given a lot to the Riley family and to the extended Lamar family, and I think we should be expected to give back.
And that they do. And we'd like for you to join Sean. I know you and your wife, Jennifer, are avid listeners of WRKF. And if you'd like to show your support for this entity, which has been around for 40 years, not quite as long as Lamar, which has been around since 1902. That's 118 years, but 40 years. Sean,
where
Riley,
did the time go, Jim? Yeah. Where did the time go?
You were a young lad of 19 when WRKF, actually 18, yeah, when WRKF yeah. signed on. And Sean Riley is here, and if you'd like to talk with him, there is an opportunity to get under the wire, 877-217-5757. Todd in Sherwood. Todd, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, while I was waiting, you kind of hit my point, the philanthropic portion of the Rileys and the Lamars. It's just been amazing. And Sean and Kevin are both humble guys that won't blow their own horn, but they have done incredible amounts for this city. And even though I don't agree with them politically, I was lucky enough to go to school with Anna and grew up around the family and have seen personally. I knew Mr. Kevin very well at family parties, and they are amazing people. We're so fortunate to have them in the Baton Rouge area.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, it's gratifying to me to hear that. So thank you much. And look, we'll get together and have a cup of coffee and talk about that
right,
political
Todd,
thing.
Well, in Louisiana, we're a blue dot in a red sea, but no doubt Louisiana is a reliably Republican state. But Baton Rouge has become, over time, a Democratic stronghold. Hillary Clinton won here. Barack Obama won here twice. Foster Campbell beat John Kennedy here. I can go down the list. Mary Landrieu beat Bill Cassidy in his hometown. And John Bel Edwards, 4 years ago, Sean, received 68% of the votes in East Baton Rouge Parish. It's a city that is not in sync with the rest of the state, as are most of the urban centers in Louisiana. And we have this nationwide, this urban-rural divide. And that is part of, some would say, the problem we have is that you could say something and people aren't going to hear it the same way.
Well, absolutely. And again, that kind of brings me back to the gerrymandering point, which is, you know, we don't have to break ourselves up like that, but it seems like we do. You know, get and also thinking about John Bell and how well he does here. Of course, he's, I would argue he's from here, right? And I would argue that his roots run pretty deep in the greater Baton Rouge DMA.
Well, and he also did well in places Democrats generally do not. And when I say well, he lost 60-40 in Livingston, but Hillary Clinton lost 85-15 in Livingston.
Exactly.
In Louisiana, if you're going to win statewide as a Democrat, you pretty much have to be a John Bel Edwards Democrat.
It's a formula that's working for him, and I
it's
hope it works again.
And our friend Mitch Landrieu, he would probably right now have a better chance of being elected president than governor because of the way the state has changed.
Yeah, Mitch's is a different philosophical profile. I would argue that he is nonetheless a moderate. But
I would say that. But
it's the way he triangulates issues as opposed to the way John Bell triangulates issues. And that takes them to different places.
Rob in South Downs. Rob, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Sean Riley.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Good.
I want to commend you for your efforts on making Lamar a more environmentally friendly, sustainable company. I think it's really important, especially with the issues going on right now, nationally, internationally. I'd like to hear your input on what we should be doing as a city and as a state to be a leader in the climate change, the environmentally sustainable practices.
Great question. And thank you for the plug. I'm going to plug Greg Goche, who is our VP for sustainability at Lamar, and the things that he has done. And these are things we can all do, so I'll tick off a couple. Number one, you know, think about your light bill. Greg has deployed across Lamar land super efficient LED lighting as well as solar arrays to get us off the grid. And the net effect of that, and this is an astounding number, our light bill, this is what we, you know, the lights we burn at night to keep the billboards visible. Our light bill used to be $35 million before he started. And this year it'll come in at around $22 million. So in addition to being the right thing for the planet, it's been the right thing for Lamar shareholders. Some other things we do, we really pace the industry in recycling the materials that we put on billboards. And there's a number of ways we do that. We used to bundle it all up, and a company would pick it up, and it would go to China. Now, of course, China has stopped accepting plastic materials. This is PVC or PEC. China stopped accepting plastic materials about 18 months ago. So Greg and his team went out to California and found this wonderful company that does a number of things. But mostly what they do is repurpose PVC. They make bags out of it, surfboard bags. They make handbags. They also grind it up and make pallets. Pallets are those things that hold big things, and you pick it up with forklifts. You know, they used to be made out of wood, so you would have to actually cut down a tree to make a pallet. Well, now they're grinding up PVC from Lamar billboards and making pallets out of that. So, you know, there's lots of things we can do, and by analogy, that you can do. Again, pay attention to your light bill. And pay attention to what you're doing with plastic.
What's your biggest market?
Oh, great question. So I can look at that as largest market in terms of most people. So that would be New York City, right?
But as far as the actual presence of Lamar billboards.
Yeah, I would say it's close second between Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Los Angeles?
We're in L.A., but we're not a big player in L.A. I'm working on that.
That's with all those cars. And,
yeah, yeah.
And, of course, the terrain makes those billboards stand out.
A lot of people stuck in traffic in Los Angeles. So
you know, billboards, and you get criticism for them, but if done properly, they can add to the scenic beauty, and especially in a city like Los Angeles, when you come over a mountain and it's like, boom, there it is.
And you know, the way I view what we do is, number one, we exist because the community lets us exist. So we exist with lots of different regulations and local ordinances, and that's good. That's a good thing. You know, we also help inform the public. A little-known fact about Lamar, we donate $150 million a year to nonprofits to promote themselves. Because at any moment in time, if we have unsold space, I'd rather put up a nonprofit like the United Way or Boys and Girls Club or something like that. So, you know, we do our best to be supportive in the communities in which we operate. You may have heard about the Business Roundtable and the large companies that signed a communication that said companies owe more than just their shareholders, their best efforts. They owe their employees, their customers, and their communities. Now, they didn't ask me to sign that because don't play in that league. This was like J.P. Morgan Bank and Coca-Cola and the like. But had I been asked, I would have signed it.
Thoughts on President Trump?
You know, he's interesting. I would like fewer tweets and more substance. That's kind of more my style. There's some issues where, you know, I think he and I could agree when he was talking about corporate taxation and where to take that. And then there's places we don't agree. We don't agree on, for example, on climate change and, you know, where he's taking that. It makes me very nervous. Right now, what's going on with trade war with China and possibly real war with Iran. So, you know, let's hope the steady hands prevail.
Thank you, Sean Riley. Good to see you, and congratulations. Almost $2 billion in sales this year for this company based in Baton Rouge, and Many probably didn't know that. But, Sean, thanks for telling your story.
Yes,
Let's
indeed.
Do it again soon.
Thanks for having
and
me, Jim.
And we'll talk with you about Reset Louisiana as well. And a reminder that WRKF plans to dedicate an HD program stream to classical music, and your membership helps to make this a reality when you donate $30 a month. That's a dollar a day or less. You can choose to receive an HD radio as you know you've done your good deed, and it'll be a great thank you gift, and this will enable you to hear the new channel, Classical Music, 24 hours a day that WRKF will soon have available for you. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. A reminder that the number to call to show your support for WRKF is 855-893-9753. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening and stay tuned.